Shut up and sit down.
Live, raw, unedited. Dr. Deb and Dana coming at you from Studio D in Wilmington, Philadelphia Metro. You are listening to the Eat Clean, Think Dirty show. The views expressed here are simply opinions and not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any of your problems. Listen at your own risk.
Okay. And? You want me to read that?
Well, I think it's a good start.
Okay, I'm just going to read a quote. We're going to start with a quote.
Yeah.
That's the quote of the day. The idea that our attractions are driven by biology may be infuriating, but it's hard to deny. They've been sculpted over thousands of generations.
All right, so all of you evolution deniers, go sit in the rain.
Yeah, sit in the rain. So we're doing, you know, Dana and I, we talk about attraction and what makes people attractive and that kind of stuff. We were just in a conversation about that. And we thought that it would be a good podcast since, you know, there is so much diversity on that topic. And I think that I personally think that we are changing a bit in what we find attractive, okay?
As a people?
I do, based on social media, based on how technology is changing, you know, our ideas of even masculinity and femininity and male and female behavior and all of that. Though I do think still at this point, that quote that I just read, that some of these you know, biology driven attraction, you know, like males is searching for youth in mm-hmm. women.
Which means vitality,
which goes back to this procreation type mentality.
Yeah, I'm all for that. And then the long hair means you're healthy, you know.
Yeah.
The big hips means that you are giving children a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Like you
yeah,
you're very you're able to bear children.
Yeah, and you know, when you do the research on that, like, you know, ovulation and how there is a little bit more difficulty with human beings, because we're the only species where you really can't tell that women are ovulating, whereas like primates, you know, their vulvas will be kind of swollen and red and it's right sort of there on the outside.
Because we don't ovulate while we're naked.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, however, you know, there is some research too that supports this sort of energy flow with ovulation, okay? That men are more attracted to women when they're ovulating for whatever reason, okay? And, you know, on the flip side of that, women tend to be more aroused when they're ovulating, okay?
Yeah.
So this evolutionary perspective is almost, it's frustrating and hard to deny when you start looking at those facts. But then you've got all this other stuff that comes in, okay? Like you mentioned long hair, okay? And what that means, there's like a vitality and health in long hair. Mm-hmm. But yet I know many men that are attracted to very short hair on women.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not across the board.
Yeah, so that's where we get into like, you know, some other concepts and personal preferences and all of this kind of stuff. But at the base, there is a biology, okay? All right, so there's an idea that, and this is a question that I want to ask you and sort of a concept, like, you know, people claim to have maybe a strong preference for a particular attribute in someone, but they don't oftentimes end up being especially attracted to potential partners who possess it. And it's interesting, and I think it's interesting for a lot of women specifically out there that may say things like, oh, I want a man that's loving and caring and this and that. But yet they're attracted to the maybe more narcissistic-y type, okay? Mm-hmm. Power hungry and, you know, distant and aloof and those types of things. And, you know, why do you think that is? It's a little bit of cognitive dissonance, you know? Like mm-hmm. you think one thing and you do a different thing.
I think generally, I mean, you kind of like maybe know what you should want, you know, mm-hmm. what's good for you, but there could be some issues you've had from the past or maybe trauma or a bad childhood or, I don't know, a weird relationship with your parents that mm-hmm. drives the going for the bad guy or whatever. But
yeah.
Do you have something else on that?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that's certainly part of it, you know, or for some people, definitely part of it. I think that, you know, again, the diversity with this kind of stuff is so interesting. I think that women, by nature, again, back to this biology thing, are caregivers.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And I think that when they see a man that has these, they have these tendencies, okay, that equate with power, and everybody knows, okay, and if you don't, you will now, that power in and of itself is an aphrodisiac, okay? Right. And the guy that is 100% into his work, and he has this, you know, kind of drive, and he's got this, you know, kind of lack of emotion because he's so focused, it starts to evoke a sense of that they're powerful within mm-hmm. us, which if you think about this from an evolutionary perspective, power will then equate to a good provider.
Right. He's like the leader of the pack.
He's the leader right. of the pack. So he's powerful. And then the woman being the caretaker, I think unconsciously she wants to soften that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which when I'm talking about that right now, it's very, for me, it's a very erotic thought. Okay. To have that power and that softness. And when they actually come together, it is magic. Okay. But two people, you know, they kind of almost have to be a little bit aware of what's going on. Yes. Which I think oftentimes they do, not all of them. But anyway, back to that original question, I personally think that's the driving force versus like the trauma. But though that happens too, I've certainly seen that.
Multifaceted.
So, yeah, so it is multifaceted. And, you know, I think, again, like at the base level of things, it's that evolutionary thing. And then you've got the multifacets, you've got the levels. Okay. Mm-hmm. excuse me. So, you know, at the base of it, it's the, you know, power caregiving thing. But then you start to get into people's perceptions and people's experiences. And then that is the driving force, especially when you see patterns in people's behavior, like they keep going after the same woman or they keep going after the same guy.
You mean okay. the same guy or the same type of guy?
I say the same guy, meaning the same type of guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you'll hear, at least in my world and in my field, you'll hear people say, well, you keep dating the same guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, this guy's, yeah, his name's Jack and he's different, but you just dated Bob and they're both the same freaking guy. They just have a different look and a different, you know, name. They're both yes. emotionally
unavailable
or too emotionally available that you're kind of like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So there's a lot of, I think, unconscious and energy stuff that happens there. So then, you know, I guess a question is, and I've been asked this a lot, like, can I, if there's no sexual chemistry, can I create sexual chemistry? And years ago,
that's a good question.
Yeah, years ago, I used to think that you could, and I used to work with people to create it, and sometimes it would work, and other times it wouldn't. I'm now of the belief that you cannot create sexual chemistry.
Okay, so you're going to give all those people refunds? I'm just kidding. Maybe not.
No.
I believed it when I did it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because I've been jaded by different research that I've read, you know, and that kind of stuff. But
jaded.
Yeah. So then the next question would become, can you make yourself more attractive? What do
Hell
you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smile. There's one.
Smile.
That's
I was reading
huge.
Something interesting, and you'll appreciate this, Dana. It was a couple months ago. That red lipstick actually.
Yeah. Oh, I just really hurt myself.
What happened?
I was uncrossing my legs to get my feet off of your chair, and my foot grabbed the cord from my headphones, and it hurt my 10 million earrings.
Ow.
Dear.
Okay, well, you're
Carry
better.
Carry on.
carry on them. We don't need to call 911.
I'm a big girl.
So red lips. Apparently signifies, you know, lusciousness.
Yes, because it's like inflammation in a good way. When you, all of your blood is flowing and that, you know, your ovulation, all that kind of stuff, it's all tied together.
Like signifies youth and all of that.
Yeah.
So I did read that it was an article about makeup, you know, on women, you know, making you more attractive. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I thought that was interesting.
But then other guys hate lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that. I mean, they might be attracted to a woman wearing lipstick, but then in reality, they like, get that goop off of your mouth.
Yeah. They don't want it.
Yes.
So it's interesting. So it's almost like
Make up your mind.
It's like an image.
Yeah.
You know, like they're attracted to it. They want to look at it. But then once they get close enough to you where they're going to be kissing you or whatever, then they don't really want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in part because a lot of the lipstick women wear taste disgusting and it's all chemicals. But that's for another show. Have we ever, just on that note, have we ever done a show on like
chemicals and makeup? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the EWG site and all that kind of stuff. We have.
Okay. We should do another one on like specifically like good products to use. Like, because lipstick is, you eat your lipstick. Everybody who wears lipstick eats it, okay, by eating food and licking your lips. So, you know, just think about that. Would you eat your tube of lipstick? I personally like, you know, the edible lipsticks. But anyway. Okay, so what? So, okay, making yourself more attractive.
How else?
Smiling.
Smiling, yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
How about confidence? You know, like being comfortable within yourself and showing confidence.
That's hugely attractive. And that's sometimes just the change in your body positioning.
Yeah.
I've seen this on tips like how to land a great interview, you know, how to kill an interview in a good way. Like walk in and just be kind of make yourself big, you know, like the Superwoman, Wonder Woman pose.
Yeah.
Hands on hips. Not so sure I'd walk an interview like that, but like hello, you need to hire me. I'm Wonder Woman.
Yeah, okay. So it's called expansiveness, okay?
Yes.
Like expansive body posturing or posturing expansiveness. And I think there's a fine line between cocky and confident.
Yes.
And I think that you do need to be really aware of that, that being comfortable within yourself isn't a, I'm the shit, you need to, you know, like me because I'm this and that. It's more of a presence, I think.
No, it's more like, I like me.
I like me.
Here
yeah.
in the end. And it's okay if you don't. I mean, that's what the confidence is. That
yeah.
really is very
And that's
attractive.
What the comfort is.
Yes.
Like being comfortable with yourself means that you don't really care. I mean, you don't go out of your way to make somebody not like you.
Right.
But you don't really care if they don't like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And not everybody's going to.
And not everybody's going to. Exactly. And I think, I personally think that because of social media and because of just the way that, you know, some of these social media sites are, I think that people, I just think that people get very, very offended. You know, I mean, I see this scrolling down Facebook. I try not to do that very often, but when I do, you know, it's almost like I just see people posting shit. Like, why would you, in my head, I'm like, why?
Like, you know? What? Like, about their friends or they're dropping friends or they're cleaning out their Facebook friends or like that kind of stuff. Just do it. Don't announce it.
Just do it. Just don't announce it.
You're like calling out for freaking attention by doing that. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like, oh, me.
Yeah.
I'm going to curate my friends list.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
And there's some other things too. And I, you know, I'm sorry. I'm
actually,
prepared.
You know what I usually do when I see that? I unfriend them first.
Do you?
I'm yeah. such a dick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think again, like I know people, you know, I harp on this social media stuff and how it changes people's perceptions and worlds, but you know, I can't help but to harp on it because it's just so kind of interesting to watch, you know, it happen. It's like, you know, you're posting your like thoughts out there, and I often wonder, and look, I've done it, all right? So I'm not claiming to be innocent here, but you know, I don't do it anymore very, very, very rarely because I see the ridiculousness of it. It's like you're sitting there and you're just kind of like, you have a thought and like your instant reaction is to just go paste it, post it on Facebook. And I think that people are viewing that with a mindset of attractiveness versus unattractiveness. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know for me, you know, when I have those thoughts, it's usually after I've read something and I'll post a thought about what I've read in an attempt to educate because that's what I do for a living.
You're a social scientist.
Yeah, it's not really my personal thought unless I want to get like a conversation going to hear other people's perspectives. But I think it's, I'm going to have to point it out like next time that I see it. Somehow, like I'll post it on our eClean Think Dirty page and I'll just figure a way to say it without making a judgment. Look, I said this earlier today. I had a conversation with someone and I was like, you know what? Sometimes you have to make a judgment.
We are not judgment free.
No. And I think that
as humans.
Yeah. Like I get this a lot as a therapist. Okay. Like, oh, you know, you're supposed to be, you know, judgment free. And I'm like, no, therapists make judgment calls. What are you talking about? Like if you're a person and you're absolutely out of control sexually, like I'm not going to sit there and be like,
that's okay.
You know, like I'm going to make a judgment. And if that person doesn't like it, then oh, well, you know, because there's health and unhealth and that goes into the concept. So anyway, I hear that a lot from people like, you know, oh, you know, you're supposed to be non-judgmental. No, fuck that. You know, like nobody is, first of all. And second of all, a therapist is certainly not non-judgmental. They're non-judgmental on a basic level. But when you're doing something that's hurting you or hurting people around you, they have to make a judgment.
Well, there you go. There's another thing about attractiveness. It's like your personality, mm-hmm. which you can change. You know, you work on yourself. So the people mm-hmm. that I find most attractive are just like the open... they're often smiling, so
I'm sniffling.
There's that, I know, and just friendly mm-hmm. and kind of carefree, you know, or just have good spirits and good vibes for people around them, and that's so attractive.
Yeah. Oh, why do I keep my nose itches? I feel like I'm. Yeah. Making nasty sounds, so I apologize.
Nasty.
It's the last one. So I like that to an extent. I think I'm a little bit... I'm attracted to intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
And that's...
But some people can't make themselves more intelligent, so...
Yes, you can. Well, I totally disagree with that because... I don't believe that intelligence has anything to do with formal education.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I think intelligence has something to do with the way you see the world and how flexible you are in your thinking. So I think that intelligence and flexibility and emotional awareness is very, very attractive, as well as laughter. Like, laughter is so freaking attractive to me and in anybody, okay? Like... You know, it's easy to get along with. It's fun, you know?
My point is, do you think somebody with like a 75 IQ could boost theirs to 135?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Let me tell you this. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you continue to read and you continue, you know, because here's the other thing. I don't really think that IQ... is anything to write home about. Like, I think EQ is way more important than IQ. I think IQ is kind of bullshit. And I think that I'm justified in saying that as, you know, research I think backs that up.
Well, I mean, IQ is certainly a bell curve, and so is EQ. And I think that where IQ and EQ meet on the bell curve is like a nice happy medium. So people with like super high IQs, they tend to be really socially awkward.
Exactly.
And the EQ is like opposite. So yeah. Where they meet, I think that's a good place to be.
That's like perfection. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's, I think that's actually very rare. I would say, for me anyway, that EQ is more important from an attraction perspective. So, you know, I think No, go ahead.
I just remembered, like, attraction to, like, somebody who's just really talented. And you can curate that, you know.
You can.
You can.
And it could be with anything.
Become an expert at something, and you're just like, wow, you know? Or so cool.
Even, I think this was either a Facebook Live or another podcast that we did, but it was about having a passion for something.
Yes.
Okay, so that's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, if you have a passion at something, or if you're really, really good at something, yeah, that's absolutely attractive. And it can be anything. It could be a sport. It could be art. It
building could, things. Cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many things.
Openness to learn, I think, is attractive.
Sorry, if your passion is video games, I'm not attracted to that. Like, there are some passions that I'm just like, no.
Yeah, unless you're designing them, I would be attracted. I personally would be attracted to that. But yeah, if you're sitting around because you got a passion for video games and you're playing video games for hours and hours a day, no. You know, this is us, okay?
Oh, yeah. Like, some girls might really be into that.
Some girls might, okay? Okay, so what about networking, okay? Like, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, meeting people at bars, networking at bars. I think that it, you know, it causes a potential issue, because I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying that all people, but I think a lot of people go to bars for cheap hookups. And that does not mean that people have not found their husband or wives in a bar. Okay. Because right. I know people who have. I just think when you're talking in general terms, that's what the majority of what you're going to get at a bar.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. So where would you go? I'm sure people ask you this all the time.
So I got a thing here, okay? You're right. People do ask me that all the time, okay? Especially women, okay? But men do too.
Okay. And not surprising.
Yeah, and I've thought about this a lot over the years, okay? And I'm somebody that is always like kind of studying things and places and what's going on and how people are behaving and what they're doing and why they're doing it, okay? So I think that common sense dictates that you should go, number one, where the type of person you want to meet is. Okay?
Okay. So how do you figure that out?
Well, first of all, it takes some level of self-awareness. Okay? So just I give you a baseline example. Okay? And I don't mean to sound trite or anything like that, you know, when I say this, but if you want to... If money is your thing, okay, and you want to meet a man with money, you're not going to go to the dive bar.
Right.
You're going to go to the polo club.
Right.
Okay? Like, common sense, okay? Not rocket science, okay?
Sure.
Okay. I think that one of the best ways for a woman to meet a man, you ready for this?
Drop your knowledge.
Home Depot, girl.
What?
Home Depot.
Shouting out for the Home D.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why.
Because, first of all, men go to Home Depot. Okay.
So do women. Sorry, I have a mouthful of cherries.
Not really.
Oh, you said Lowe's is the women's store.
Lowe's is the women's. Okay. That doesn't mean you're not going to find a woman in Depot. I go to Depot. Okay. But you're going to find more men in Depot.
You're going to Depot to find men.
So
ever since you developed this theory, apparently,
here's what I think. You go to Depot, okay, and you see men there, okay, and yes, some of them are married, okay, and a lot of them aren't. And let's say you see a guy by the pipe, and he's attractive, okay.
Of course, you choose pipe.
Okay, so what are you gonna do? Okay, like, look, you wanna meet him? Like, go over and ask him, because he knows this. Most women don't know how to put pipes in, okay? Like,
they shouldn't.
I'm not saying that some don't, okay? But most women don't.
That's a man's job.
Okay. Sexism.
No, it was a sexual reference, actually.
Oh, okay, Donald.
What?
But anyway, whatever. So you go over to him and you ask him and you let him know that maybe you're thinking about redoing some pipes, and you ask him how to do it.
Excuse me, sir. Can you help me with lay my pipes?
And then he says,
I'll lay your pipe for you, ma'am.
Then you get into a conversation and he's teaching you, because I think at the heart, men want to help women.
I do, okay? But aren't you just now playing the damsel in distress card?
Look, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Everybody plays a game when it comes to this.
All right.
Okay? And this is no different than being at a bar and flirting your way, thinking, you know, I mean, it's the same fucking thing. Okay? It's just different.
It's the same thing.
It's just a different.
My turn. Okay, Donald.
It's a different. It's a different context. It's a different context. Okay? Now, that's the number one place, as far as I'm concerned, to meet a man. Okay, now there's more detail there, but I'm not going to go into it.
Oh,
I don't
you have
think,
to buy the book,
I don't think
apparently.
You're ready. I don't think you're ready for it. Okay. Now, when it comes to men meeting women, it's not about a place. Okay. It's about an inner game.
Man, you should go to Lowe's.
Yeah, right? Because women are much more emotionally centered. So a man needs to figure out how to, you know, get into her emotional center. Now, men, don't do this to be deceitful or anything like that, because that's just bad karma. But if you want to get with a woman, you have to understand her emotions, what she wants emotionally, because it's much easier to get into a woman's head than it is to get into a man's head.
So how do you do that when you first just spy somebody in, say, Home Depot? It's like, how do you know what their emotions are?
Well,
and what they need emotionally?
Because there's cues.
Okay.
Okay? And those cues they're not just in what they're saying, but they're also in their body language, okay? And there's baseline facts about women in general, okay? That, you know, is where some education needs to be. So the baselines are women like men who can have a conversation,
mm-hmm.
okay? Women like men who are playful,
okay? Definitely.
Women like men who can look them in the eye, mm-hmm. okay, and smile, okay?
Yes.
Women tend to like men who smile, too, all right? And men like that, some of these things as well. So they're the baseline, like, body language cues, okay? And then as you hear her talking, like, you know, it may not be uncommon for a woman to say something like, well, gosh, you know, I really want to learn how to do this, but, you know, I just don't have the time, or, you know, whatever. So you pick up on some of those things, and then a man might say something like, well, yeah, you know, it takes time, but you can do it.
Belief in you.
I can help you if you want. Okay? So now he is offering his time. Mm-hmm. And most women believe they have this thing about time, okay? Like, if you're giving me your time, you want to spend time with me, therefore you must like me, and blah, 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 okay? So there's a science to this, like, kind of inner game, and men need to focus on that, okay? It's that emotional intelligence stuff. It's that emotional connection stuff, okay, that women suck up. And this is just, like, a basic level of stuff, okay? Like, we could go on and on and on about this, but...
And we have been going on and on. This is actually a long show.
Yeah, because attraction is a big thing. Okay, a couple more things, and then we'll round it up, okay? You know, those 36 questions that we did a while ago on one of our first, second, third podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay, the intimacy questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go online and, you know, like, download the experimental generation of interpersonal closeness questionnaire. And you can start asking people or the person, you know, some of those questions, or somebody that you want to get close with, ask them those questions and have a conversation about it. And those types of things will oftentimes bring you close because it's vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, talking, you're getting to know one another. And then, you know, okay, we'll finish up with this one. All right. And this, I want you to, you know, obviously think about for a second, but like, hard to get, playing hard to get is said to be, you know, you'll hear people say to women, oh, well, you're going to have to play hard to get, okay? Mm-hmm. Playing too hard to get is going to turn somebody off.
Sure.
Eventually, okay? Because it's almost like, why waste your time?
Yeah, you're also sending a signal that I'm uninterested, like...
And I'm unavailable.
Okay, next.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then the question is, if you want to be attractive, okay, like, what's that middle ground? What's that sweet spot of, you know, not being too hard to get and being somewhat available, okay? And I think there's a lot, everything that we talked about goes into that, you know, smiling and...
It's also the concept of time that you had brought up. It's mm-hmm. like, if you really are interested in somebody, then you will carve out time for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you forego other things and make time for them.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you have to jump into bed with them, you know, on the first hour that you meet them, you know.
But no judgment if you do.
No judgment if you do, you know, be careful, obviously, because every action has a reaction and consequence, but, you know.
Hopefully
and
it's not an itchy, inflamed
And
reaction.
Hopefully, yeah, exactly. Hopefully it's not. But, you know, so the ideal, I think, is to make it feel as if, you know, it's hard for everyone else to get you, okay, but not necessarily for the person that you're adoring,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because I don't think anybody, and maybe there are some people, okay? But I think the general population doesn't want someone that everybody else can have too.
Sure.
Right? And I think that's just the science of attraction in general.
Actually, let's round that back to the whole biology thing, because mm-hmm. I think part of the why mm-hmm. women, or maybe even young women, or I don't know, some women, or damaged women, are attracted to the bad guys who are like the studs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are obviously, you know, out there with plenty of women, and it's like, oh, well, if I can get that, then I'm attractive too. You know, it's like a validation.
Sure. Yeah, for both men and women mm-hmm. too, you know? And again, like, I don't even necessarily think that that's a damaged person necessarily. Sometimes it can just be somebody's ego is bigger than their head, you know? And they lead with their ego, mm-hmm. okay? So the concept of conquering becomes how they get their validation, okay? Now, the interesting thing is that I think we always go to trauma for those types of things, but in my experience, it's not always trauma, okay? It can be low self-awareness. It can be a bit of narcissistic tendencies. It can be dissociation, not necessarily from trauma, just low self-awareness type things. It could be being rewarded for behavior that you've had for many, many years, and therefore you continue the behavior, okay? And again, there could be some low self-awareness stuff there too. But like, so yeah, so again, attractiveness and attraction, I think, is so, so, so complex. I think there's some really, really good studies, but one study does not, you know, hit every concept of attraction, okay, because of the diversity of people and their experiences. And, you know, even like, you know, there's some solid research on how love can sometimes sneak up on you,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you may not be attracted to somebody at first, and then all of a sudden, it's like,
bam,
like you're all about him.
I just heard a story about that. Yeah, this girl was friends with a guy for a long time, and then she just told me this over the weekend. She was like looking over, and she was like, oh, gosh, I really like him. You know, it's like, it was so cute.
Yeah.
And they're getting married in a couple of months.
And those types of experience are not understood very much. Okay. Yeah. So this kind of goes into that like box of like, wow, this is so mysterious. Like, you know, like there's obvious things. Okay. Like we can do all of that stuff. Like you put your red lipstick on, you know, you flex your muscles, you peacock, you do this.
Stand like Wonder Woman.
Exactly. Number one, that doesn't equal sustainability. And number two, that certainly doesn't work for everybody because some people don't like those types of things where somebody might like something like very, 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 very different.
Yeah. It's really, who are you really? And don't you want to attract somebody who likes who you are?
Yes.
I mean, that is really the key. So just find yourself.
It reminds me of a Sex and the City episode, and we can close with this if you want, unless you have something else to say. And it was for those of you who watched Sex and the City. So Miranda was the redhead. Okay, Miranda was working out at the gym, and she was in like this old t-shirt. Okay, and she was all sweaty. She had no makeup on, and you know she has short hair. Mm-hmm. You know, for a woman, short red hair. And she was just working out and, you know, and some guy was kind of looking at her and he came over to her and said, gosh, you know, like, you know, he started talking to her and she was like, okay, well, see you later. And he turns around, and he was like, is that it? And she was like, is there more? And he goes, well, I hope so. Look, I've been watching you for a couple months. I think you're really, really attractive. And in her head, she's like, oh, my God, like, I look like shit, you know, like I'm in a dirty old t-shirt. Yeah. Blah, blah. So they went out on a date, and she does what a lot of women do. She gets all dressed up, and, you know, she's in this, like, sexy dress, and she puts a lot of makeup on, and she looks beautiful, mm-hmm. okay? But they're out on a date, and she's just talking about, like, you know, what she likes, and, you know, and he's just looking at her like, ew, okay? And then he basically ghosts her,
wow,
okay? And
so
she sees him at the gym again, and she's like, she goes up to him, she's like, look, I'm really confused. Like, I thought we had something nice. I had a good time. Like, what happened? And he turned to her and he said, you just really came off really full of yourself. Ooh. The other night, huh. Okay? So my point is that this man in this show, and, you know, just because it's television, this is a reality, okay? Because there are men that just like a plain woman in workout gear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And likes that kind of natural look, okay? Mm-hmm. Versus like a totally made up look. But then you've got the other men that like, you better never wear workout gear, mm-hmm. and you better always be, you know, dressed
on
up.
Point,
okay. And there's women like that too. Like women want their men like, you know, dressed a certain way or, you know, whatever. So we get into our certain just, you know, likes, you know, when it comes to maybe appearance and stuff. So anyway, hope you found this attractive, I guess. What's our clean freak fix?
Well, I think I said it a little bit ago, just really find yourself and be yourself. You know, that is key, because you don't want to change mm-hmm. the game in the middle of the beginning of the relationship. Like, you don't want to throw somebody off like that.
Find yourself, be yourself, and find the people. You know, I've read this a while ago, and it was in I don't know what context it was in, but what I'm about to say is the meaning of it is find your clan.
Yeah.
Okay. Like people like you for everything, for all of your faults, your insecurities, you know, and that being said, there has to be trust, obviously, in any situation, okay? So there's a platform of the basic human needs, okay? Like, in order to really like somebody, you have to trust them. You have to, you know, have some level of respect for them, those things. Once those things are fairly solid, then comes the, you know, do you like me for all of my faults? Okay. Because mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, if you don't trust someone, that's not a fault that you can.
No, you're not going to get over it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So yeah,
here's to be done here, guys.
Yeah. Here's to finding your, attractive person.
All right.
And keeping yourself attractive in your own way. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
All right, guys. Bye.
It's not stopping. It's not stopping. Oh, my gosh.
You know you want more. Find them on Facebook at Eat Clean, Think Dirty, The Podcast, and stalk them on Twitter at Don't Eat Dirty.